Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Well, welcome to VFN Radio. My name is Pat Hamilton, and with me in the studios today is Chris. Oh, yeah? Is that right? Let's try that again. How are you doing today, Chris?
I'm doing very well today. Glad to be here.
Man, there's too many buttons in this place. Oh, my goodness. Well, today, myself and Chris will be standing in for Greg Lancaster and John Ramos. They'll be out today. But we are very excited about today's program, though. We are going to be revisiting some awesome segments that we like to call Timeless Treasures. And a few of those I want to mention is one is called Prodigals Are Coming Home, or Will You Be Ready? Which is a very powerful segment. Obviously, it talks about, you know, the prodigal son coming back and, you know, and how that relates to the prodigal church. Mm. We're also going to be listening to What Sentence Are You Serving? Which also talks about, you know, mindsets, strongholds, and ideologies of our nation, mm-hmm. which is very good. And we've got, also we're going to be playing in the extra hour, which is here, doo-doo, ooh. Hoodoo, and here-do. Wow. Which one are you? Mm-hmm. Which is very good. What is our, you know, what's our response supposed to be to God's commandments in our lives, right?
Right, right.
We're supposed to hear what he says mm-hmm. and then do it, right?
That's right.
What a novel concept, right? Mm. Also, we have a surprise segment, which I don't want to give up just yet.
A surprise?
A surprise.
Oh, no, not
yes.
surprises.
It's going to be in the extra hour, but you don't want to miss it. It's going to be good.
Very good.
Well, let's not take any more time. We're going to go ahead and let's go ahead and listen to What Sentence Are You Serving? Listen up.
I heard of Phyllis Schaffler. I think it was Phyllis Schaefer. Mm-hmm. We'll be having a lot more things coming out about all this kind of stuff, but... You know, out of all the countries, this is this, you know, what happened in the 60s and what's been was said and the Communist Manifesto that was laid out for our country, which is not who we were. We're not a communist country. Then when they laid that out, they just had to start calling our good bad. They had to start saying when people weren't oppressed, they had to start saying they were oppressed. But there was people oppressed. But and for example, just the they started making the mother and the wife feel really bad, you know, begin mm-hmm. to create, write books and say things that cause her to feel like, you know, I thought I was happy, but I realized I just need to, you know, it's raising kids stuff and enjoying, you know, my family and, mm-hmm. and, you know, and being a wife and maybe, you know, working as well, whatever it is. That there needs to be more,
right?
You know, and
but
a lot
that wasn't
of,
enough.
That wasn't enough, but it was because of what they were being told. They were being told by, and we'll be revealing some of this coming up in the future on VFN Radio, the progression. It's literally the Communistic Manifesto, and they've accomplished everything that they wanted to accomplish that they laid out in those days. And it started, you know, in the 1930s, where we basically put an atheist. Over our school system to begin to write books and curriculum. And if they turned the Declaration of Independence into an economic issue versus all the other reasons why we left Great Britain. And everything, and it was crazy, is everything could have been great for our lives, but we started believing the press. And all of a sudden we start thinking, well, it's not that good. Maybe it's better somewhere else. But now I'm seeing people, you know, say very openly. I'm seeing, you know, where you know, women are trying to, I mean, they're doing so many things. It's amazing what a married working mother does in a day. I mean, it's just amazing.
Amazing. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just amazing. And what I heard recently, you know, some ladies were talking and, you know, some pretty prominent ladies, and they said, you know, we were trying to have it all. We were trying to do it all, you know,
sure.
trying to be, you know, the CEO and trying to be the mother and the wife and all that, and several relationships later and things got all over the place. So, you know, they found out we couldn't do it. Mm. And it's an unrealistic expectation of any human being to have that many hats on, mm-hmm. you know? And so now it's, you see a tide of people rediscovering where we were originally before the enemy started lying to us and telling us where we were was wrong. And there had to be something better out there, you know? And we, because of that, you know, we have like over 50% divorce rate. Mm-hmm. We have over 7% of all the children in Idaho, it was surveyed, that they are tried or wanted to commit suicide. Wow. I have all these stats I'll be bringing out really soon. And the whole purpose of communism, the whole purpose mm-hmm. of it, is to dethrone God mm-hmm. from our minds and from our heart. You know, that was the goal of, you know, Karl Marx is what he said. I want to dethrone God, you know, and it's turning to government and man instead of God. And, but yet, you know, providing for needs is not wrong. And so somehow we're going to have to figure out, you know, how to humbly depend on God and do what's, right before him in hopes that mm-hmm. he would, you know, allow us to maintain or keep a country called America.
Sure.
And that's why we're here. That's why the reason why we're talking to you right now and why we're on VFN radio and we have VFN TV every single day and 24 hours a day is because we wanted to begin a conversation that God could take over us and we could begin to listen to what he's saying. And then we could begin to change our minds because we've been so inundated by so many wrong things. And, you know, one of the things that the Communist Manifesto was, you need to take over media. Well, media is totally taken over. Yeah. Everything degrading to the family, everything degrading to the man, everything degrading to a father, everything degrading to a mother's role.
Sure.
Everything that's supposed to be good about children mm-hmm. or law or all this, that it's just everything. It's like everything. I mean, the gender dysphoria and all the different things taking place. It's like, is there any program that's being played through media that is encouraging in the ways of God? And the thing is that it's intentional. It's not accidental.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This whole thing's intentional because you have to first take a moral people, and you have to do away with their morals because freedom only exists in a moral culture. If you remove, all of a sudden there's no morals anymore, you know, and nobody's morally perfect. But at the cross, you know, through repentance, God forgives us for immoral behavior. We acknowledge it. But then he empowers us to walk morally before him in a way that we never would before. And when we take that humble attitude towards God, God may allow us to be able to keep the freedom, but freedom only exists. And I believe it was John Adams, our second president of the United States, says that freedom can only exist for moral people. Mm-hmm. So they knew, you know, they knew in the Communist Manifesto, they knew that they had to begin to undermine our moral culture. They had to undermine our education, begin to start with the kids, you know. This is a child shall lead them. You know, what it is you, if you train a child up in the wrong way, you know, then they'll be the future leaders and the CEOs and future teachers and all of that. And is it interesting, too, that most of our difficulties happening on university campuses across the nation, well, you know, the 60s culture of, you know, I want to blow the government up. The government's wrong. Right. They, you know, I got so many things I'm going to be sharing on all of that. But understand, we're not going to be able to walk out of this in ignorance. We're going to have to know how we got here.
Sure.
And you cannot, you know, lay down with snakes and act shocked that you got bit.
That's right.
You know, and you can't say I want God and Satan both. You can't say I want darkness and light both. You know, you have to make up your mind. And then the thing you get the mindset that's been changed is that the enemy's convinced a lot of God's people that it's not a winning proposition to choose 100% light. You know, you hear people say, oh, well, there's no, you know, I wouldn't have fun. And I was like, is hell going to be fun? You know, is, and if you look long enough, because it's only pleasures of sin for a day, it doesn't last. Go, I mean, you know, for a season, I went and, you know, worked in law enforcement, and go walk through the jails. You see every age, every gender, everybody that runs after sin, it all ends up running after them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I heard somebody say, you said you're trying to scare, scare hell into them. It's like, no, I'm trying to scare hell out of them. There's going to be things and people in hell that you have never, ever seen in your life before. And you're going to be with them.
I like
unless
what
you repent. You got to get real about it. You got to get real.
You know, if somebody teaches the hell out of you or scares the hell out of you, rejoice because hell's out of you, right?
So the hell is out.
The hell is out. And hell would be, you know, dark ways and ways that the enemy would want us to go other than God. But the lie that the enemy sold over these years, these atheists who sold the few handful, it just takes 10% of a people to be moving in one direction to change the entire nation. Most people, you have people that, you know, make things happen. Some people think about making things happen, but most people, I'm telling you, most people just wonder what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening right now is they've pushed and pushed and tried to prod to get Americans to go in the streets to be fighting each other and be divided. And they've tried to pit everybody against everybody. Any division is amazing. I've never seen so many, you know, concepts. Maybe this will work. Maybe that'll work. Mm. Even to the point today, Eric Holder has been revealed that our attorney general in the report, they were intentionally selling guns to the Mexican drug lords. It's on the news today. It just came out. The report just came out. So that they would come into America and create violence so they could create new gun laws to control the guns in America.
Wow.
And it's like, you know, at what point do you impeach somebody when they're violating their own citizens are dying because they're trying to impede the Constitution, you know, and, you know, make sure that when you're listening to this, you're hearing this, go to the VFN Torch. If you're listening on the Torch right now to this highlight, look at related articles because there's going to be one there that says, you know, I swear about an oath. Everybody in from the president to the Senate to the Congress to your governor to your military personnel to brand new citizens that are coming into the country, we all swear an allegiance. We swear an allegiance to no other government,
right?
You know, to no other potentates and no other princes, and we just break all those, and we say that we swear to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America from enemies foreign, which means people. That means because you know terminologies have changed so much today, which means people that are not in America,
right?
From enemies foreign and domestic. Domestic means this, then that when there could be enemies in America, in your state, in your county, in your city that are against the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And Constitution, the very word Constitution means that's what we're made up of. It's like, you know, your body, your constitution of your body. What are you made up as a person? Well, America is made up of the United States Constitution. Everything's derived from that constitution that says this is how people will be treated. You know, all of our rights come from God. We have a right to pursue. Everybody has a right to pursue happiness, but not a right to happiness. You know, and that you know these. It's just, and so you know that you have a right to worship God. The government can make no laws concerning that. Right now, so many constitutional rights are being violated. And of course, you can listen to Josiah. You know, listen to Josiah on VFN TV. Go to VFN TV now, and you can watch it at VFNTV.com. And, you know, sometimes God just says, that's it. You know, that's it. I mean, he did, you know, when he created man, and, you know, Methuselah's grandson's name was Noah. And, you know, men just kept on having evil on their mind all the time. Evil was on the heart all the time. And he says, listen, the Spirit of God is not going to always contend with mortal men. He's just a mortal man, and he cut men's years down from like 700 to 900 years to 120 years.
Right.
And then he's going to destroy everybody except for Noah at that point.
Right.
You know, people say, well, that doesn't happen. Well, keep on reading.
That's true.
You know, read all the way to Revelation and realize that we can't keep on contending with God and think it's a blessing. And I have to be honest with you that it wasn't until we started losing it that I start realizing it. And there's so much mog, mire in America, religious mud, if you would, or just a mire that you just couldn't, you know, you just had to shake yourself continually to keep the religion off of you long enough to have a relationship with God, to hear what God was saying. You know, Pharisees and Sadducees mindset, religious mindsets going like, let's just keep, you know, beating the drum and rowing the boat. And it's like, why? Mm-hmm. You know, why? You know, we're not doing what God says do. And
right.
And, but you know, when you know better, you do better. And we didn't just get here. As you hear when we talk about the virtual stadium, this has been a progression to get to this point.
Right.
And what we say is what we actually know to be true. And it's not some other man's experience. This is our experience. And it's a shocker. But you know what? We've been shocked so many times. Yeah. It's just like, okay, all right, pick your leg up and let's move on. Mm-hmm. That, okay, fine. We find out. That's all God wants us to do is just find out and realize that we've been wrong.
Right.
And begin to do right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think about that. What's so important is that, you know, we just got to ask ourselves this question, you know, before we even begin this process, because it's so amazing. Before you even open your mouth, you know, today's believer, Christian, they're ready to argue before you even open your mouth. Mm-hmm. You haven't even opened your mouth yet, and they're preparing to argue with you.
Right.
And it's like, first, let me say what I was going to say.
Loud and wrong.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Bad
right.
combination. I'm saying bad combination.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. And so, you know, you first have to ask yourself this. You need to ask yourself this. And I encourage you, before you talk to anybody about truth, ask them this. There's no sense discussing truth with somebody who is, what part don't you understand? I'm not going to do that. You know, and a religious mindset is this. I've convinced myself that God says it's okay for me to walk in disobedience. So don't mess that up.
Right.
But so he tells us, you know, we need to first ask yourself this question before you argue. If what I read or hear or what I'm about to discuss tells me that God wants me to acknowledge what I'm doing is wrong and totally do something totally different than what I'm doing, would I stop and change with a willing heart? Believe it or not, that's a legitimate question. It's a shocker to people because they got to pause and think. And if they're honest, you know, if they answer no, just relax, move on. They just said no to Jesus. Move on. If they say yes with a reluctant, yes, you know, they're preparing to tell you why they're not. But think about this. If that's true, then they've pre-decided that they want God to line up with them, mm-hmm. not them line up with him. They're wanting to make and mold their own God instead of receiving God for who he is. I mean, you think about it. That's what happens, right? That's exactly how a nation falls, and that's what goes on. And so in that, an argument is a different viewpoint. It's just an argument. It's not necessarily raising your voice. We talked about personalities the other day. I don't know. What's the name of that segment of personalities? You need to hear that.
Uniquely you.
We're all made differently, which means we all argue differently.
Mm-hmm.
But an argument is just a different viewpoint, which means you could have two ladies sitting in a coffee shop, and they're both having their Frappo Capo Nappuccinos, mocha flavors, and one lady with her little pinky sticking out, and says, you know, well, I think it's, you know, I think it's left. And the other lady goes, takes a little sip of her coffee, you know, and sticks her little pinky out. And she says, well, you know, I was really thinking it's kind of not really left. It's kind of, that's an aggressive argument. Now, right. Well, it could be right or wrong, but it's an argument. You know, and some people argue in a way that people think that it can't be an argument because nobody's raising their voices.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you right now. There is a lot, an argument is just a different viewpoint. It's a total, it's just a different viewpoint. It's all it is. It's not somebody yelling. It's not somebody breaking dishes. It's not somebody, you know, taking off in some car somewhere or whatever you would consider. You know, that's an argument, you know, and you look at news today, you know, the sold out news, the only thing they call an argument is something that looks aggressive like that.
Sure.
But the reality is the worst arguments are like the judo type arguments where they go with you a little bit and then they throw you. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many arguments. There's so many different viewpoints that are being cast out before people right now. And Christians are not standing up with the right viewpoint And they're just letting that other viewpoint just come across the land and come across the God's people and come across pulpits. And it's like, dude, if he or she is lying to you, I don't care how high their pulpit is, tell them that they're lying.
Mm-hmm.
Tell, if you know that they're lying, if you know that's not true, don't buy into the organization and deny the organism. Listen, if it's a lie, it's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what God tells us to do. He tells us in 2 Corinthians 10, and this is what we wrestle with, is these lies. It's the fiery darts of the enemy, different mindsets, different viewpoints other than God's viewpoints. And 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 6 tells us, he says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. So it's not like we're talking physical war or that type of thing. It's just different viewpoints. He says, on the contrary, that our weapons have divine power to the demolishing of a stronghold.
Mm-hmm.
And a stronghold is it's a mindset. It's what you think about something, that it can be a good stronghold. It can be a bad stronghold. Now how it's revealed whether it's a bad or a wrong stronghold is when you get into God's word and God says, wrong mindset. You know, right. That's not the way you do marriage. That's not the way you do finance. That's not the way you raise children. That's, you know, mm-hmm. You find, okay, I see. I was living by a mindset that's different than what God's mindset. So I realized that if I start contending, if I hang on to this wrong mindset and say, I'm going to go this way, then I'm arguing with God. It's an argument. It's a different viewpoint. Or I could say, like the very question that somebody asked me, am I willing to change my ways if God says my ways are wrong? And I say, mm-hmm. In a heartbeat, that's all I'm trying to do. Because a lot of times we could be doing, we're doing our best to serve God that we love, but we just didn't know it was wrong. And as soon as we find out it's wrong, we change our ways. That's all God wants. And he knows. He knows whether we knew it was wrong or not.
Mm-hmm.
And those are beautiful people. It's called the ability to repent.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he says, so we have divine power to the demolishing, which means annihilating and destroying these wrong ways of thinking, which is strongholds.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about it, you know, some people are serving 5 years in prison. Some people are serving a sentence that's 10 years. Some people are serving a sentence that's 20 years. But many, many people who are believers are serving sentences. I am not worth anything. For 5 years now, and they're planning to serve 10 more years. I cannot do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'll serve 5 years on that. I will never have a financial breakthrough. 20-year sentence on that. My marriage will never be good. 5-year sentence on that. You know, then all these wrong different sentences versus the sentence what God says. He says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth is loose in heaven. I got the keys. I got the keys, bro, of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is within me. If I want the kingdom of God to be around me, I'll loose it from inside of me. And if I want you to have the kingdom as well, I will preach the kingdom to you and give you an opportunity. I am walking on top of my circumstances. My circumstances are not walking on top of me. And the sentences that we're serving, and a lot of people are, you hear them over again, you say, oh, they're serving 10 years on that. It's been 10 years now I've been hearing that sentence come out of their mouth.
That's right.
You know, it's like, mm-hmm. You're trying to put me in that sentence. I don't want that sentence. You know?
Can we get past the sentence? Can we get past it?
Yeah, can we get past that sentence? Right. You know, I am not serving time with you, but let me know when you get out or get some free time and we'll visit.
And I don't even want to visit you while you're serving.
Yes, that's exactly it. You know, I told you you'd be free. You're free, you know, but you have to demolish it through God. You got to find out what God's viewpoint is in that. Mm-hmm. He says, so in verse 5, he says, so we demolish arguments.
Mm-hmm.
So we can demolish that argument that's against what God says about us and about our nation and how we should live as his people. And every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Listen, this Communist Manifesto, their ultimate goal is to their war is not with men. Their war is not with liberal or conservative parties. Their war is not with, and it's a world war, it's not with America. It's their war is against God. That's the war. They're fighting against God. They don't, whether they know it or they don't know it. They may know it or not know it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're coming against God's stronghold, right way of thinking, and the way God says that his creation should be. And So we have we can demolish every argument and pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. But listen, if you're not a disciple, if you haven't even been in the Word, and you're not even abiding with God, reading His Word, you don't even know what a lie is. When somebody's telling you need to read your Bible religiously, you know, I don't blame you for not reading. But somebody's telling you, listen, you might be living some lies and not know it, and it's going to cost you eternity if you don't find out that you need to cast down this argument that you've been living under and live free from it. You know, we can demolish every argument, every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God.
Mm-hmm.
And what the truth does, when we know the truth, it's light. It lets us know what's wrong in our life and what's right in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And then we turn to the cross and say, Lord, please remove this thing from my life. I don't want this thing in my life. And God empowers us. He forgives us and He sets us free from it. Then He says, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. People say, you know, I just tried, you know, and I just like, you know, you ain't tried nothing. You didn't try nothing. Did you change your friends? Did you change your job? Did you change where you live at?
Mm-hmm.
Did you start actually abiding with God and reading His Word? Did you start fellowshipping with believers who are going in a direction that you knew God was calling you to be in? Or did you stay with a crowd that actually was still going in the wrong direction? Mm-hmm. I mean, what are you really doing? I mean, because we're supposed to take those thoughts and force them. Are you still watching junk on TV and wondering why your mind is junk? Mm-hmm. You know, and you spend 5 minutes in the Word, but you spend, you know, 6 hours on the broadcast media, which has been overtaken with the agenda.
Catch a clue, right?
Catch a clue. And it just matters what you think. It matters what's going on. And we can demolish those things. And then he tells us, he says, we force it to be in compliance, make it obedient to Christ. And the carnal mind will never submit to the ways of God. There's always going to be a contention there. So you know what? It takes the power of God to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he can do it. And he says, and once we do this, he says, we'll be ready to punish every act of disobedience once our obedience is complete. Don't let anybody tell you that grace is a permission to sin, because genuine grace received from God is accompanied by genuine holiness, or a desire to be holy, which means separating ourselves from that which separates us from God. Be strong. Be courageous. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't let these arguments overrule our nation, overrule your church, or overrule your family, your marriage, or your life. Fight the good fight of faith.
Wow, what an awesome segment. My goodness, what sentence are you serving? Think about that. Man, that is so good. I mean, I think about, God, when I first came as a believer, all the wrong mindsets that I had before I knew God.
Right.
And the only reason I knew they were wrong, because the Word of God told me different.
Right.
You know, how are you going to know unless you're actually, you know, abiding, spending time with God.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just a powerful revelation, you know, and if you're not abiding with God, you know, it's time. I mean, we have great materials on iabide.org, you know, and if you don't know how to abide, there's step-by-step on how to learn how to abide.
Right. There's a simple plan there for you.
Simple plan. And it's so powerful. Well, we don't want to take too much more time. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to revisit the segment about learning how to hear and then do.
Ooh.
We'll be right back.
Have you ever found yourself just wondering who to talk to? Wondering if there's anybody real? You've tried everything. You've looked to every relationship. Find yourself possibly, you know, being an addict. Run through every door, every opportunity. And it seems like all your doors are closing. It seems like everywhere you're going, it's just, you turn and you end up in the exact same place. And I relate to you, because that's exactly where I was. I had nobody to turn to, or at least I thought I didn't. I tried everything, and I felt all alone. I felt that there was nowhere else to go, that I could not find the very reason that my life was. I couldn't find my purpose. And I want to encourage you that there is a place to reach out to. And you can reach out to Jesus Christ. That He is real. And if you feel that God can't use you, I want to share truth with you that He can. And He wants nothing more than to spend time with you and have a relationship with you. And you can check out the stories and read the stories of other people who are in situations like you, or possibly in worse or just different situations than you. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out your Heavenly Father that wants nothing more than to know you. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
If you ever heard someone speak about the Word of God and you just spin in awe and wondered, oh my gosh, I wish I could hear God like that. Well, guess what? You can. I want to demystify the voice of God for you. We have a simple plan for you at iabide.org where you can begin to learn what is your rightful inheritance to hear the Father's voice. God wants to speak to you on a daily basis. He says, my sheep know my voice and they follow one another. That's you. You're his sheep. Get your plan at iabide.org. Hearing God's voice is not as hard as others have made it out to be. I've heard this once. I've heard it too many times. When I run into someone and they tell me, I just don't want to be a part of a crowd. I just don't want to be part of another group. I don't want to be another number.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to go to an event. Mm. I want to experience God.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy fellowship with God's people. And I want to grow. I want to be a true disciple. Mm-hmm. I want to learn of his ways. I want to abide with him and spend time with him. And I want to hear God for myself. I'm no longer interested in being a spectator, but I want to get in the game.
Yeah.
I want to fulfill the great commandment. I want to fulfill the great commission, but I just don't see where I fit in the crowd. If that's you and you have a longing to fulfill the call of God in your life, if you have a longing just to truly be what God's called you to be, a son, a daughter of God, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to be a part of a family that's not just spectating and watching others do it, but are actually doing it together, I want to encourage you, find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dead. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. Mm-hmm. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham, when he began to work and do what was going on, he would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now. And maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I am Pat Hamilton, and with me in the studios today is Chris, and we don't want to take any much more time, but we want to go ahead and start to listen to the segment Here, Doo-Doo, Voodoo, or Here-Doo. Which one are you? Let's listen up.
If you have not yet, you know, made a decision to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, listen, now is the time. Today is the day, you know, and go to meetmyfather.org so you can begin a relationship with him. And if you have made a choice to follow God and make Jesus the Lord of your life, but you're not practicing anything the Lord has laid upon you, remember, he says the ones who actually hear this word of mine and they don't put it into practice is like somebody who builds their house on the sand. I don't care how pretty and how big your quote houses, it's going to fall. It's going to crash with a big crash if it's not built on Jesus. If you're not practicing what he said, which not singing about it, you know, not talking about it, you know, but practicing it, you know, practicing what he said. He says, now the one who practices it, the one who practices the word of God are the one that when the storm comes, and they do come, and it comes with a big winds and all this different stuff, that your house will stand. It's not that you won't go through storms. Mm-hmm. It's that your house will stand. You'll be able to stand. You know, things, we may lose things and stuff like that, but you will stand, mm-hmm. you know, maybe with a limp, but you'll stand because God's able to make you stand. And putting it into practice and understand that a false gospel has been preached, and that's how we got to this point, that you don't have to practice. You don't have to walk in the ways of God. You can just say a prayer, and that's not true. He said, if you don't put these words into practice, you know, practice what is being preached. If you're not doing what you're saying or doing what, you know, the Lord says, he says, you're going to fall. You're going to fall with a great, great crash. And so it's important to know that you don't have to worry about anybody. You don't have to worry about what people are thinking or anything like that, because your answer alone. You just need to make a decision for yourself. You know, say, hey, you know, I am going to do what he says. I'm going to do what he says. And there's a lot of people right now, you know, I like to say that they're hear-hears and people who hear and hear again, people mm-hmm. who do and do again. But God's looking for some hear-do, mm-hmm. some people who hear it and do it. As a matter of fact, listen up.
How do we get back to God? How do we get back to the place that we are maybe for the first time, to a place that we need to be in God? You know, and I think about three statements. I think about hearing. I think about doing, and I think about hearing, doing. This is why I think about that. Mm. I think about that because, you know, we're told by Jesus that if you hear these words, Matthew chapter 7, if you hear, and this is a storm happening right now, it's not like coming, it's here, and it's just escalating. And he's talking about a storm, how to survive in the storm. Mm-hmm. He says, if you hear these words of mine and you put them into practice, in other words, if you hear it and you do it, you're like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the economy fell, I added that, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had the foundation of a rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, or does not practice them, is a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rain came down, the storms rose, the winds blew, the economy crashed, the government flipped, you know, all these different things. And it fell with a great crash. And you think about it. It's so important, you know, and the American church has gotten so used to just hearing. Did you hear that? Yeah, I heard that. Oh, yeah, I heard that. You know, and they said, you know what? I am so sold out for God. I'm so sold out for God, John. Listen, I'm going to go back next week. I'm going to hear some more. And somebody says, you know, you haven't taught me because I've been here 10 years and I hear every week. they said, right? But James tells us, you know, the brother of Jesus tells us in James chapter 1, he says, if you hear the word and you don't do it, you're merely deceived. So if you're a hear, right? Think about it. Here. I mean, how many people, I've never seen such beautiful, orchestrated, elegant hearers. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's like, look how she's hearing. Isn't that amazing? Right. I mean, she nods her head. She gives feedback, an amen every now and then. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he does so well. I mean, he's hearing really well. I mean, these are the best hearers I've ever heard. I mean, who would just show up to hear for so long? Hear, they said, right? And then you have the doers. You know, I'm thinking about Jersey. I'm just a doer. I just do. I'm a doer. I just like to do. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I just do, right? Right? So, and it's a southern version of that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm a doer, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I just like to do. I got your chew gum when you say that. Probably sound better from chewing gum. Anyway, so please don't. Please. Oh, my goodness. So, okay. Let's move on. And so in that, you know, Paul talked about in Philippians chapter 3, he talked about all of his doings. You know, as a matter of fact, when you go to a minister's breakfast, you know, they don't say, what's God saying to you? They don't. I mean, it's not every one of them. I'm just talking about most of them. You know, the American concept, you know, they don't say, anyway, this is what's said. So, what you doing? And you say what you're doing, and they go, well, what are you doing? I'm doing this. Oh, you're doing this? I'm doing that. What do you do? I do this. What do you do? Do. So, I mean, it's all about works. It's all about doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's like do and do. Or do-do. You like a do-do meeting, right? It's like, and the people don't even really care what you're doing. It's just politically correct to have a do-do meeting.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? This is what I do. We're not going to invest in each other. We're not going to respond. As a matter of fact, they may even think you're like, you know, out there, and they just leave. And that's not what we're called to do. We're not called to have a do and a do meeting. We're called to say, how are you? Can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these different things we could say. And so he said, when Paul listed all of his dues, and he did it in Philippians 3, I mean, he listed all these awesome religious works. He did all these things. I mean, just wonderful things, just religious works. And there's so many things being done in the name of religion. I mean, just there's lots of things. And he said, you know what he said? He said, I consider it doo-doo. That's what he said, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of like the GIV version. But, you know, he said,
dung.
He said, I consider it dung. That's manure.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I consider it manure. And there's nothing worse to be in a doo-doo meeting, right?
That's right.
It's like, come on. You know, where's the power of God? Why are we asking and talking about what God's saying? You know what I'm saying? Right. Why isn't there some... This is so we're going to go out and build a new wing on this thing, and we're going to go out and do kind works. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Do this. It's like, is anybody hearing first what God wants you to do? Well, I don't have time to hear what he wants to do, but we're very religious. Can't you see? Can't you see, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
And then. So those that do and do without hearing, you know, that's what Paul considered all dung. He considered it doo-doo is what he said.
Right.
You know, and that's the King James version of it. And so with that, then you have the hear-dos, those who hear what God says, the word of God, and then they just do it. Hear-dos.
Mm-hmm.
They hear what God says, and they put it into practice. Jesus said, if you do this, you're a wise man that builds your house on a rock, and when the storm comes, you stand. James says, you're blessed in all you do when you're a hear-do. Hear ain't going to get it. Do-do ain't going to get it. But hear-do gets it. This is my question for you. Are you a hear-hear? Are you a do-do? Or are you a hear-do? If you find yourself in the first two categories, you can make a decision today that I'm going to be a doer of the word of God. I am going to break loose from the hear-hears and the do-dos. And I'm just going to do what it says.
Mm.
I'm just going to read it, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to say this is what he says marriage should be, and I'm going to do it. He says this is how finance should be, and I'm going to do it. You know, in view of his mercies, and his grace, and he's full of grace and mercy. You know, so we do this. And understanding that I'm no longer going to be a hear-hear.
Mm.
I mean, come on. I mean, I'm just built and designed that I can only hear for so, so long. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, when are we going to do something with this?
Hello.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like having this big, huge pep rally, and everybody's dressing up for it, and pom-poms, and new sound systems, and new hairdos, and new buildings, and new all this kind of stuff. And at some point, it's like, aren't we going to get on the field? 95% of the church self-professing Christians never get on the field and win one person to Jesus who died for them.
Yeah. It's not a go ye, it has become a come ye.
And
it's not a go ye church, it's become a come ye church. Come here.
Yeah, come
in the building.
Yes.
You know, but don't go.
That's exactly it. And we're called to be a go ye. We don't pray about, you know, oh, I'm just wondering, you know, I'm wondering, God, you know, it's me again. And thank you for my stuff and things. And I just want to ask this question. I'm just kind of pondering. Should I leave the lap of luxury? Should I cut back on my overtime? Should I sell my boat so I could go tell somebody about you? And then I hear some other voice that says, why would you want that? I mean, you got all this stuff going on. Just give some money to the 5% who will do it.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you this. Listen. If you are struggling with moving from a hear-hear or from a do-do to a hear-do, and you want to get active right now, I'm going to encourage you. Go to vfnfamily.org. Maybe that's where you can begin to hear and you can do.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Or there's others across the world that are hearing and they're doing. George Bonner says people are leaving the hear-hears and the do-dos. I mean, he didn't say it that way. People are leaving tradition so they can keep their relationship with God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so understanding that you can begin to get active. And if you're struggling with, you know, trying to get them to God, lead them to God, lead them to VFN Radio, lead them to VFN TV. It's a totally available for the world. The world's listening. Lead them to us, and we will partner with you to lead them to Christ, and we together can obey the Great Commission. The question is, are you a here-here, a do-do, or a here-do?
And you think about it. It's also, there is, you know, hoodoo. There's hoodoo as well. Not only is there here-here, not only is there do-do, mm-hmm. you know, and ultimately God's looking for here-dos, mm-hmm. but there's one more. There's hoodoo. You think about it. I mean, a lot of people think they are what they do. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why they ask you, what do you do? And if you do something that actually gets more money, has more of a crowd or something like that because of the hoodoos, they think, oh my goodness, you're a bigger hoodoo than me. You know, but Jesus said this. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said this in Matthew, I think it's chapter 7, verse 21. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does, so not just the did part, does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So it's not just doing. I mean, we've talked to people who are, they're doers, man. They really are doers. And they look around, they tell everybody, hey, this is what I do. Mm-hmm. But we talk to say, hey, what's God saying to you? Well, I don't have a lot of time to that. And you know, we know people that, you know, that's being asked to speak over a large group of believers, and they're telling us that I haven't heard from the Lord in 2 years. It's like, don't speak over the people. Oh my goodness. And why is anybody choosing you to do that anyway? It's because you got here, you got doo-doo, and you got hoodoo. You know, and hoodoo is somebody who thinks that what they're doing is who they are. And that's why people don't mind telling you about what they do. That's what those do and do meetings is. But the hoodoo is, it's always been wrestled with in the church from the beginning of times, that people started, you know, saying, I got this gift, and so-and-so's got this gift, and I've been baptized by this person. You know, he's like, and he says, it goes on to say in verse 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not? So they're thinking because they had a gift and because they used the gift, that's who they were. And they showed up and said, look, did you see how I sang for you, Jesus? I sang, and everybody just applauded me for singing that song. Did you see that?
Right.
He said, many people are going to come to me that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Which means they prophesied. Mm-hmm. That means they accurately prophesied. I mean, I know people that are in the grave right now and died a sinner and died away from God, even though they prophesied accurately.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Don't we?
That's true.
And, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, did we not drive out demons? Which means that somebody can have what they call a deliverance ministry. And demons could be flying out because it's the power, it's in the name of Jesus is what's happening. That's what's going on. God's God despite what's going on. Mm-hmm. And in your name, didn't we perform many miracles? Which means legs not there and legs come back. You know, somebody's dead, now they're alive. All these miracles begin to happen. Then Jesus said, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? They were caught up in hoodoo. They really thought because they used a gift, and it was a gift is this, it's just given to you. Mm-hmm. It's just given to you, right?
Yeah.
It's just given to you.
Yep.
It's like, so you're not what was given to you. It's like somebody giving you a car. You go, look, I'm a car. It's like, no, you're driving a car that somebody gave to you.
All right.
You know, now use it for the one that gave it to you.
Yeah.
And, or you look at the letters written to the church, the churches in Revelation that, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, using your gift is a fruit. It's fruit. Jesus said, you'll know them by the fruit. He says up right above that in the same Matthew chapter 7, he says in verse 15, he says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are furious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, and every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will know them or recognize them by their fruit. John 15, see, Jesus says, if you don't abide in me, then you're not going to bear fruit, and your branch is going to be thrown into the fire. That's what he says.
All right.
And so a lot of people would say, hey, my fruit is my gift. That's hoodoo. No, it's your intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know his voice, and he knows you. He knows you. You're spending time together, and fruit are people. Who are you loving? Whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do it to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I needed clothes, you all the different things that he does. And he says, I'm not unjust. I won't forget the love you have shown me as you help my people and continue to help them. If you say that you love me who you can't see and you don't love your brother, this part of saying that you're mine is a lie.
That's right.
It's how we treat other people. So it's not what we do who we are. It's the fact is, do we do what the Father told us to do? Did we obey the Father's will? And he said, Lord, Lord, many people come to him that last day. And he says, listen, you didn't do my Father's will. And you can only know his will when you hang out with him. You're going to have to spend some time, but you're going to need to abide with him. So you have, again, you have hear-hears, people who hear and hear again.
Mm-hmm.
I think America's got the most beautiful hear-hearers,
mm-hmm.
and they have large facilities to hear and hear again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at some point, you got to do something.
Yeah, right.
And then you have the do's and the do's, you know, all those different do-do meetings that they're just talking about the do, but nobody really cares about it. They're just trying to make sure their do, their pile of do's bigger than your pile of do, right?
Oh, my goodness.
And they feel like they're accomplishing more because they have a bigger pile of do, right?
Yeah.
D-O.
Yeah.
Right? Doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And then you have the hoodoos that, you know, they're caught up in, and they feel like they are who they are because of what they do. And so many people go down. I think about, you know, Kirk Franklin. You know, Kirk Franklin, you know, he's a singer. His gift's singing. But he was dying. He was performing what he does, and everybody thought he was what he does. At the same time, he's dying behind the scenes. And it took somebody to see the man behind what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew this man wasn't what he does. That's not who he is. And reached out and began to minister to him, and he got totally healed, and now his gift is used in the right area. Because everybody that has a gift and understands this, they know people are receiving them based off what they do, but inside they're crying out to be recognized for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to make that decision. You cannot let people, like people fell at Paul's feet to worship him, and people fall. You got to say, get off that ground. Don't be, you know, worshiping this gift, because this is supposed to draw you to God, not to me. And so I just want to encourage you today, you know, and of course then you have hear-dos, people who hear the word of God and do what it says, and they're blessed. When they do this, they're blessed in all they do. You want to be blessed in all that you do? That is what you do. To be a hearer of the word and do what it says. Abide with God, hear what he says, and do what he says. You can find out more how to do that at iabide.org. We'll be right back.
Oh my goodness, God does not care about our pile of do.
No, he doesn't.
Wasn't that good?
That was awesome. That was awesome. Actually, listening to that again reminds me of where I came from.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I used to be a hear.
Yeah.
You know, and because I didn't think I could do,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it also reminded me that the scriptures in Exodus 35 and 36, when God had called the Israelites to build the tabernacle and all right. the instruments, you know.
Yeah.
And but the word says that he gave them the ability to do.
That's right.
Those who were willing That's to right. go and do.
Just a gift, right?
Right, it's a gift. That's and right. He gave them the skills to do, and the word says, you know, to do.
Right. Right.
And I came from that. Like I said, I was just a hear because I didn't think I could do.
Right.
And then you know, because I was willing to step out and do, God has, over the years, God has given me the ability and has poured in to do so many different things.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Man, that's powerful. Well, I can't believe we've come to the end of the first hour already, man.
Man.
You don't want to miss the extra hour. Boy, we've got some great stuff for you. We're going to be talking about the prodigals are coming home.
Awesome.
Are we going to be ready for them? And then, of course, we got my surprise segment, Uh-oh. Which I don't want to give up yet. So you don't want to miss it. So stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. We'll be right back. don't know if you heard that. You may not have heard it, but we just busted through a barrier, our next barrier, our next achievement, where we went over the counter of 4,000 likes on VFN TV and VFN Radio's program's Facebook. Yes. And I just want to thank everybody that's joining us and all of our Facebook-connected listeners that are sitting in the virtual stadium out there. We shot right through 4,000,
mm-hmm.
and next our goal is 5,000. And what does that mean? What does it mean to begin to like our Facebook? This is what it means. You can go to VFNTV.com and just click on our Facebook and like us. It means this, that every day our staff works tirelessly to make sure that everybody that's connected us in many ways, including our Facebook fans, is that you have access to not only the entire program, but you have access to segments, like a loaf of bread being cut up in certain segments. We call those highlights, that you can listen. There may be one thing that was discussed that day. You get a chance to listen to the program, or you want to share it with somebody else. Well, the fact that you liked us on Facebook makes that available to you every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day. What does that mean also? It means if you have somebody in your life, that you have a friend or a relative or somebody that you want to be encouraged, by getting them to come and like our Facebook, mm-hmm. they automatically will get the very same highlights, and they'll hear about what we talked about in the first hour about the third great awakening. They'll hear about the prophetic words and what God is revealing, and they'll be a part of it too. And you won't have to send it to them or talk to them about it as much as they'll have it, just like you have it, on your feed, I think it's called.
That's right.
But all you got to do is go to VFNTV.com, click on our Facebook, like us, and then you'll automatically get these. And they intensely labor over making sure that these highlights are available from each day's program, because, you know, you can listen to a lot of things, but there could be one thing that day that just encourages you, that mm-hmm. gives you insight, that helps you answer questions in your community or in your family or in your church gathering. And you can make that available to yourself if you haven't yet by going to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook and like us. But you also can share that with your friends. If you got maybe 30, 40 friends on your Facebook, you can say, I want to encourage you guys to go to, if you had to spell out the URL, you would just go facebook.com/VFNTV, and that's mm-hmm. it. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook. But if you had to do that to get them to click on it, they actually get encouraged every single day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the way it is now, they have it available, and it hasn't been this way till now, but you can either go and you'll have two links on every particular post of a highlight. One is you can click on and listen to that 1 5-minute, 2-minute, 3-minute, 20-minute segment right there on your phone or your iPad or your computer, because it'll come to you in your Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can click and go to the VFN Torch. That'll be available, same link, a different link will be available to go read more about it and see some pictures and videos. So those two links are available in every post for you, which means this: if you're riding on the road and you need to be encouraged, just look at your Facebook and look for the highlights that are put up that day. And what you do is you go to your pages or whatever that you liked, and all those will be right there and also will be in your feed. You say, I want to listen to that. You just touch it, and it'll start playing on your phone like an MP3 will just start playing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's so all cool. Right. We call those highlights. But what it is it's just revelations that came out on that day, or conversations, or some encouraging things about Pat's hair products.
Absolutely.
So 5,000 likes is our next goal. Thank you for everybody helping us come to 4,000. We're already moving into 4,100, but we want to move on into 5,000 likes. Why? Because that means that many more people are getting encouraged on a daily basis. Listen, if you are having difficulty reaching people for God, partner with us in this way, and we together will reach them. We will reach them together by doing this. Mm-hmm. Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally awesome. Cool.